Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Friday, everybody, and we welcome everyone to the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. And today's show, it is Friday. Happy Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. That means you stock up for the weekend. You need to make sure you're ready for all the great games you're going to get a chance to watch this weekend. And you don't want to be running back and forth. So go tonight and stock up at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews. Oh, did I happen to mention beer? Yes, the best selection anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And yes, all together now, the pickle bar is second to none. Yes, led by the barrels and the dills, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, fun show coming up for you today, including Teddy Greenstein, Brad Nessler, Dana O'Neill, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com is going to join us in just a few minutes. Looking forward to that very much. And Penn State and Northwestern coming up tomorrow. Ryan Field at Evanston with a noon kickoff. That means we'll be on the air beginning at 10:30 tomorrow from Evanston. Shikellamy football tonight at Jersey Shore here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin Herr and the coach, Dick Hort, will have the call for you. 6:30 the airtime and 7 o'clock will be the kickoff tonight. And don't forget, you can hear Sealands Grove on Eagle 107. 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6 o'clock the airtime. Milton on WMLP, 7 o'clock the kickoff, 6:30 the airtime. And Lewisburg on 100.9 the Valley, 7 o'clock the kickoff, and 6:30 the airtime. So that is all coming up on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Another big weekend of high school football. Now we're getting to the point. I always used to kid Kevin Herr when he, in the second week of the season, would start figuring out playoff scenarios. Well, now we're at the point where you can start figuring out some playoff scenarios. So these are really important games coming up tonight across the area because we're hitting now, we're in early October. The high school football cycle is different than it used to be where you, okay, maybe by mid to late October. Well, mid to late October, it really is starting to fall into place. So you have to start looking at it now. And tonight on Eagle 107, Sean will be back. It is the best, I mean the best, high school football coverage anywhere as he does a complete post-game look at all the great action across the area. That's coming up. That'll be at Eagle 107 tonight. But don't forget, Shikellamy football tonight at Jersey Shore. Big game for them at 7 o'clock. Kevin and the coach, Dick Hort, on at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right. Baseball playoffs, Yankees and Indians. The National League, it's going to be Corey Kluber, by the way, after the Indians won last night 4-0 behind Trevor Bauer. He was outstanding, and then Andrew Miller and Cody Allen finished up last night. The Yankees and Indians, Corey Kluber against CC Sabathia. Nationals finally get going. They'll send Steven Strasburg to the mound. They get the Cubs in game one. And finally, to round it out, the Dodgers and Diamondbacks finally get going tonight at 10:30, and Clayton Kershaw will get the ball tonight for the L.A. Dodgers, and the Red Sox and the Astros, of course, playing right now and in Houston. All right, coming up, Ben Jones, StateCollege.com, is going to join us. We'll get his perspective on what we've seen from the Nittany Lions so far in this season. Also get a preview as to what he thinks about Northwestern, led by Clayton Thorson and the running back Justin Jackson, Godwin Igwebuike on defense, Patty Fisher, the middle linebacker, Tyler Lancaster. Actually, you look at Northwestern's defense, actually pretty good up the middle. It's like a Major League Baseball team. You're always talking baseball. I want to be good up the middle. Catcher, short, second, center field. Well, you look at Northwestern's defense. They're pretty good up the middle. Tyler Lancaster at nose. Maybe the other tackle's okay. Patty Fisher at middle linebacker. And the two safeties, Kyle Caro and also Godwin Igwebuike, pretty good back there for them. So coming up, we'll talk with Ben Jones, StateCollege.com. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Happy to be with you on this Friday, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Ah, oh, boy, it's time to stock up for the weekend. That means you have to go over to Reagan Street. You have to. And when you get there, you're going to say, you know what? I got to make some decisions about beer. Well, you have to make a lot of decisions about beer because imports, domestics, microbrews, they have the best selection anywhere. Maybe you want some wine coolers. Water, soft drinks. You need to load up on the snacks. They have plenty of those because, you know, look, not going to be a lot of movement this weekend. You're going to be watching games. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The bags are right there at the register. And on top of that, all together now, you've heard this refrain for 6 years, the pickle bar is second to none. That's right. I love the barrels and the dills from that pickle bar. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Penn State football coming up tomorrow. The Nittany Lions will take on Northwestern at Ryan Field. That will be a noon kickoff. 10:30 will be the airtime for the Penn State Sports Network coverage. Don't forget, we have plenty of high school football coverage coming up on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations tonight. Sealands Grove will be on Eagle 107 with a 6 o'clock airtime tonight, and 7 o'clock will be the kickoff for the Seals this evening. And then don't forget Sean Carey after the game with the best postgame coverage anywhere. Milton tonight at home. They are going to be on WMLP tonight, 6:30 the airtime, 7 o'clock the kickoff. Steve Williams with all the coverage of that one. On 100.9 The Valley, it's Lewisburg tonight. Lewisburg, Danville, that'll be a good matchup this evening. That'll be a 7 o'clock kickoff, also 6:30 the airtime on 100.9 The Valley. And, of course, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, we'll have Shikellamy at Jersey Shore this evening. A big game coming up for the Braves tonight on their schedule. Kevin Herr and the coach Dick Hort, their outstanding coverage of the game, will get rolling at 6:30 this evening, and 7 o'clock will be the kickoff at Jersey Shore this evening. That is the best broadcast anywhere in high school football, and we're looking forward to having that on tonight here on News Radio 1070 WKOK with three other outstanding broadcasts as well on Eagle 107, 100.9 The Valley, and WMLP. Very proud to have some really great broadcasters that carry the games on our stations. They do a great job. All right, Penn State Northwestern tomorrow at Ryan Field in Evanston. Let's bring in Ben Jones, statecollege.com, to look at what the Nittany Lions have done so far, take a quick peek at tomorrow's game. Ben, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with the football part of it. Game five, what did you think of what you watched on Saturday?
I think you see a team that's figured out ways to win, even when it's not always looking pretty. We talked about that a little bit against Iowa, that, you know, there were moments where the offense didn't really click, but, you know, there were moments when it looked like, you know, the sort of offense that everybody raves about and their ability to get down the field quickly, their ability to get a lot of different targets involved. And I think ultimately that's the mark of a good team, is not always, you know, are you going out with every drive and scoring a million points every game? It's really, you know, when you start to click, what are you able to do with it? And I think, you know, certainly you can't ask for a better start than the one that Penn State had between all the, the forced turnovers and Saquon Barkley's kickoff return. But I think ultimately, you're seeing a team that's playing well for the most part in all three phases and finding ways to make big plays in all three phases. And, nobody's going to be perfect. And I think ultimately Penn State's sort of embracing that they're maybe going to have to grind out some of these games. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're scoring 45 points and feel like you had to work for it a little bit, there are certainly worse places to be than that.
What do you think of the defense through five games? What have you thought of them?
I think, you know, it's kind of ironic because everyone, I think, went into this season feeling like the defense was at least the biggest question mark, that there were guys that were going to have to step up and could they do that. And I think everyone sort of felt like they could, but you had to see it, and the offense was going to score points. Could the defense kind of make that be enough? And I think, you know, to a certain extent, the defense has been the stronger unit as a whole outside of anyone named Saquon Barkley. I think they've played outstanding football. I think when they've been in opportunities to make big plays, they've done so. And when they've been in spots where Penn State's needed a stop or felt like, they needed the defense to step up, they've done that. I think, you know, there was right after Indiana got its second touchdown, they got the ball, and there's this sort of feeling that the momentum was swinging a little bit the other way, and then they're off the field, and I think just about 45 seconds or so. And it's moments like that where the defense has really stepped up. And I think, you know, you look at guys like Marcus Allen and Grant Haley and Jason Kambinda, and these guys have played a lot of football, and they sort of sense those moments when they've got to step up, and all three of those guys have made plays this season, across the board at key moments. And that's really, what they need out of this defense right now.
Right. Kambinda and Allen, two veterans. It just seems they're in the middle of everything. And I thought, you know, and Haley and Campbell played pretty well on Saturday as well. These are the seniors on this team right now, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, these guys look like they kind of sense the moment that they're in. You know, if you figure a guy like, you know, all three of those guys we just mentioned, these are guys that have been around the block. They've seen a lot. They've probably experienced more than most anybody's ever going to experience in their college career. And you kind of get that sense. You know, I felt in the second half of the Iowa game, you saw Jason Kambinda kind of play like a guy who was like, no, we're not going to have this season end, have this run end quite like this just yet, and sort of step up his game a little bit. You know, Marcus Allen, I said going into the year, you know, Penn State wanted to make the playoffs. They needed him to be fourth or fifth on the team in tackles just in terms of where those plays are ending. But, you know, he's a guy that's up by the line of scrimmage on some plays by the time the ball is snapped and so active, right, you know, around the line of scrimmage that, all three of those guys, all those guys they've got on that defensive side of the ball that are seniors are really stepping their game up. And that's what you need out of your seniors, especially in a season like the one Penn State's having.
Right. I mean, no question about that. When you look at the offense right now and the running game, what are you seeing?
I think it's easy to point to the offensive line as being an issue there, and I don't think there's any question that they're maybe not quite as good as people thought they were going to be this season. At the same time, I think in their defense, they haven't been quite healthy and quite all in the same places that everybody said that they wanted to be at the beginning of the year. So there's some acclimating there. But I think ultimately, you know, it boils down to the fact that, you know, you've got the best playmaker in the country and probably, you know, Saquon Barkley's obviously a running back, but he does so many other things that he almost kind of transcends his position a bit. But you've got the best, you know, running back in the nation, and he's averaging 2 or 3 yards a carry against Indiana. At the same time, you know, Indiana the past two seasons has said, you are not going to run the ball, and they've loaded up the box, and they've said, you know, just you're going to have to pass it if you want to win. So, you know, there's no amount of blocking that can win a numbers game for you if they've just got more guys.
That's right.
But, you know, Penn State wants to win the Big Ten. If they want to make the playoffs, they're going to have to be able to run the ball between the tackles. And so far, they haven't really been able to do that. And, you know, Saquon, for all the magical plays he can do, you know, sooner or later, football is just easier when you do the things that normal people can do. And I think if they can get 4 or 5 yards between the tackles, that'll make their life a lot easier.
Right. Northwestern coming up. What's the early read you have on them?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like every Northwestern team, you know, that you've ever really seen on under Pat Fitzgerald, they fight hard. They are good defensively. You know, they don't make tons of mistakes on offense. They've kind of been a little up and down this year. I thought they played Wisconsin pretty tough for at least, you know, the first 2.5 quarters of that game. And then Wisconsin, especially on the road, that's a tough place to play, even with an early kick. You know, they played pretty well against Bowling Green, the week before.
It was Bowling Green.
Against Bowling Green, where a team that an offense that's been known to score a lot of points over the past few years, struggled a little bit against Duke. I think Clayton Thorson's a guy who's been reliable for them. He's completing 64% of his passes, playing all right. And, you know, Northwestern, you got that 11 o'clock kick locally. It's always been kind of a weird thing, the long grass. Never been an easy place for Penn State to play, but certainly this is not the best Northwestern team Pat Fitzgerald has had. But at the same time, Northwestern has never been a pushover win, regardless of how good they may be in terms of their record.
Of course, you've experienced going out there when it happens to be an 11 a.m. local time start, which, by the way, is still noon Eastern time. It's still a noon start, but it's 11 a.m. out there. Any thought process about the start time for this thing?
I'm sure it's not ideal for guys, especially, you know, the traveling team that's not used to all of this sort of stuff. But, you know, I think one of the best things that this Penn State team's been able to do over the past 12 months is they really do buy into the, you know, everyone sort of says that it's cliche that they want to go 1-0 that week and put things behind them and not look too far ahead. And I think, for the most part, you talk about leaders and seniors, and these guys have done a good job of sort of focusing on the task at hand. And maybe you start a little slow, and that's happened in the past. But at the same time, you know, I think they know what's on the line, and I think they realize that you can't afford against any team to kind of wait an extra hour to finally get going. So I don't think it's ideal, and certainly I know that when I'm waking up on Saturday morning for an 11 o'clock kick, I'm sure I won't be less than thrilled that everything got moved back an hour. You know, whether that, you know, impairs the judgment, the decisions I make the night before, I guess we'll see. But without a doubt, it's not ideal. But at the same time, I think these guys are pretty well equipped to kind of shake out the cobwebs and get going.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Ben, thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Appreciate the time.
Yep, thanks for having me, Steve. I'll see you out there.
Ben Jones, statecollege.com. And don't forget, you can hear the game tomorrow here on News Radio 1070 WKOK as Penn State takes on Northwestern. It'll be a noon kickoff with a 10:30 airtime. Clayton Thorson, good arm, but they've been getting to him. They have given up 54 sacks in their last 17 games, including 15 in the opening 4 games this season. It has been a problem for Northwestern. And for Northwestern, when they have generated a ground game, they have won. When they have not generated a ground game this season, they have not won. That's a real barometer for them. Also have given up a few more yards in the rushing game than they want to, and that's where Saquon Barkley comes into play. So those will be a couple of key figures tomorrow. Also, if you get pressure on Thorson, it's only a 36% passer with no touchdowns and 3 interceptions when pressured this season. Coming up in the next half hour, Brad Nessler joined us earlier in the week. We'll have a chance to revisit with him as LSU takes on Florida tomorrow. The game is on CBS. Brad will have the call. Looking forward to that. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us on this Friday. It's Brewers Outlet Day, everybody. Go to Reagan Street and stock up now. Because at Brewers Outlet, they have the best selection of beer, imports, domestics, microbrews. They also have wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, yes, is second to none. Love the barrels, love the dills, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You must stock up. Make sure you have plenty on hand. You never know, somebody might be dropping by, or you might be dropping by someplace else yourself, and you want to make sure you don't go empty-handed. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for this day in sports history. In 1880, the National League kicked the Cincinnati Reds out for selling beer. Well, the Reds are obviously back in. B, they're selling a lot of beer. They would sell even more, probably, if they had a contract with Brewers Outlet. 1983, Mike Bossy, one of the really great right-wing scorers of all time. His 25th career hat trick on this date in 1983. Joe Montana of the 49ers on this date set an NFL record with 57 pass attempts. He threw 5 touchdowns and threw for 429 yards. 1995, the Colorado Avalanche, formerly the Quebec Nordiques, won their first NHL game when they beat the Detroit Red Wings. Let's be honest. Quebec should have an NHL team. They have a brand new building up there. They would sell out every game regardless of their record because they are hockey mad up there. They love it. And the Montreal Canadiens fans may disagree with me about them having a team, but they should have a team. 31 teams. That'd be a perfect 32nd choice. 2003, the Indianapolis Colts became the first team in NFL history to win after trailing by 21 or more points with less than 4 minutes to play in regulation. The game went to overtime, where the Colts beat the Tampa Bay Bucks 38-35. Nick Folk, by the way, missed 3 field goals last night, and the Patriots beat Tampa Bay 19-14. Tampa Bay cannot solve their field goal kicking. Cannot solve it. All right. He is one of the best in the business, and I've said many times, and if you meet Brad Nessler and you get to know Brad Nessler, and if you don't like Brad Nessler, you don't like people. He's just one of the really great guys out there. Brad, welcome. It's great to hear you back again.
How's it going, my old friend? How you doing?
It's great to hear you again, and it's great to see you on CBS. Must be a lot of fun for you.
It's great. Having gone about 2 months last year without football, I was going a little bit stir crazy, and you learn to appreciate it when you're not around. It was 36 years that I was in a booth either Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, or maybe all three, for that many years in a row. And then so last September and October, to have time on my hands on a weekend was not fun, Steve. So back in the saddle. It's a big saddle to fill, I know that, but it's going well so far.
Yeah, but you know, the guy on the other horse is somebody you know pretty well, because a long time at the ESPN with Gary Danielson. Is it amazing that when two people have chemistry that you can pick up essentially where you left off?
I never really thought it was going to be a hard thing, but I didn't think it was going to be as seamless as it's really been. We kept in contact all those years. I mean, we were a lot of those years together at ESPN and ABC, and then we're still at the same network, only I was with Bob, Greasy and Lynn Swann, and he was with Brent. And so, I mean, we were never that far apart. And then his years with Vern, literally at least once every 2 weeks probably we either talked or text or whatever. I'd call him and say, "You stole my game," and he'd say, "We get first pick, ha-ha," So, I mean, we never really lost contact. And, our first go-around, it was watching his kids grow up, and now he's got like 14 grandkids, so I get to watch them grow up. But yeah, we got together to do the Missouri Arkansas game the day after Thanksgiving last year. It was actually the first time we'd done a game together in, I guess it was something like 16 years. And I really knew 5 minutes into the game that there was really nothing to get used to. I remember coming home and I said to my wife, I said, "Hey, how'd it sound?" And she usually doesn't pay attention, but she usually has the TV on in the house just so she can hear our voices. And she said, "You sound like two 14-year-olds that hadn't gotten together in a while to throw the football around." So it really was no adjustment, and we're having a blast just like we used to. We're just older and our hair's grayer.
Yeah, but he had to stay over at your place for about 3 days because of the hurricanes. That I'm sure that was quite an experience.
Yeah, it was, and we decided, and we both joked about it, and we kind of said it at the same time. We looked at each other, I guess Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning when he had been here since early Sunday. And I said, you know, I can do 15 games and bowl game and all that with you, and we're together Thursday through Sunday morning. And he looks at me and goes, yeah, but I don't think we can live together. And I said, I don't think so either. And I teased him about not knowing how to make a bed. You know, he messed up like 3 beds in my 2 houses. And my lake house first, and then we lost power, and then we came over here, and we had a generator. And so we were working by generator power in the kitchen table for about a day and a half, and my wife thought that was hilarious.
What's it been like for you to really just lock in on the SEC and just, you know, really just worry about a certain number of teams instead of having to worry about a country?
Hasn't hit me yet, Steve. Somebody asked me that the other day, and I said, you know, you got to get back to me, I guess, at the end of this season or the beginning of next season. I've already now done, I know what you're talking about, because I've done Tennessee twice. This week I have Florida again, so I've done them twice in a 3-week span. So it's going to be weird. Although, you know, probably 80% of my games, I would say, in the last 7 years before that with Todd were probably SEC games. So we kind of traveled around the SEC anyway. But it is going to be weird when I start seeing, I know already that I'm going to see, you know, Coach Saban 5 times, or his team 5 times, and probably a 6th, you know, if they make the SEC championship game. So from that standpoint, you know, you got to be careful that the stories don't get, you know, stale, or you find new stuff every week, or that you, you know, as you know, it's not always the same audience. Sometimes you got to bring stuff back that you might have done the first week. So it's a little bit different because I'm used to being a little bit more all over the country than just in one conference. But like I said, I've kind of been down this part of the country for a while anyway.
Yeah, no question. You got Florida LSU this week. Florida is under Jim McElwain is 9-1 in one score games, and you of course did one of them, that miraculous finish. What is it about his demeanor, his sideline, how his team handles it, and then of course what you witnessed firsthand?
We don't know if it's just plain luck. You remember when Les Miles went through about 3 years where you wondered how they won the game and how he, you know, didn't manage it so well. I didn't want to say mismanaged, but that was going to be my word. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I sure do.
And so I don't know if Mac's fallen into these things or if it just follows him around or if he makes the right moves at the right time. I don't know, but, you know, he's done a great job. He's got a great record, and sometimes you look at it and I go, I'm not quite sure. You know, he's 16-3 in SEC regular season games, and that's the best Florida start for a coach since Spurrier. So, I mean, you have to look at the results. Sometimes it's not that pretty. In fact, sometimes it's not pretty at all. But, you know, they'll take being 3-1 and 3-0 of the conference. And, you know, even the Michigan game, they didn't look terrible in the first half thanks to their defense. Their offense looked terrible. But I don't know. You know, and he keeps changing quarterbacks and flipping things around, and he's lost so many guys. That's where I give him credit, you know, to have had 10 guys suspended and two or three of them are really key players and really good players that could start for anybody in the conference, and they're not there. So he's had to kind of piece everything together, you know, and do it with smoke and mirrors, and so far they're getting away with it.
And then there's the Ed Orgeron part of it over at LSU, and they brought in Matt Canada as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
What's your view of what you're seeing from LSU right now?
I haven't figured out why they can't, and this goes back a couple of coordinators, at least 2 head coaches. I don't know why they can't find a quarterback. And I'm not putting Danny Etling down. You know, I mean, he's a game manager type of guy and all that kind of stuff. But they have been through so many 4 and supposedly 5-star recruits, and they come in there and they look totally lost. And, you know, I don't know if they're not coaching them up well or if their system is, you know, a little bit flawed. I don't know. But I always look at that program and go, okay, you're going to get defensive backs. I mean, they've had 10 or 12 guys in the last, I don't know, 13 years, you know, in the NFL as starting DBs. So you don't have to worry about that side of the ball so much, at least in the secondary. They've had great running backs, and they've had great receivers. I mean, the last time I guess they had a passing attack that really worked was at Magdeburger, and he had Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. Well, you know, I could have probably thrown to those two guys, I guess. So, you know, they seem to find the good skill guys, but they can't get a guy to get it to them. So I think that's been their problem kind of all along. And I don't know what kind of, you know, they've started the one of those go me funds or go away funds or something for Ed already. So that's not a good sign. And I got to deal with him on Friday. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I guess he has a $12 million buyout and somebody started a GoFundMe page. So far, they have $275. My opinion, they're a bit short.
Yeah, they're a little bit short. I think the guy that started it put in the first 200. So, you know, they're not getting a lot of bites, but I have been watching. I turned on Fine Bob's show here a little while ago, and it's a firestorm already, and the same thing's going on with Tennessee. You know, I saw them lose on the last play, and then I saw them get trampled by Georgia. The folks in Knoxville are not happy either. So, you know, there's only about two or three places in the whole conference right now where the fans aren't in an uproar, and that would be Tuscaloosa, Athens, Georgia, and they're coming around a little bit at Auburn right now, but everybody else is not happy.
Right. You know, it's ironic. You talk about like a couple coordinators ago and so forth at LSU. I think the last time I had LSU was with Penn State in that Capital One Bowl in the mud, and they had Jordan Jefferson at quarterback, and they mismanaged the clock that day. But they had LaFell, they had Trendon Holiday, and so forth. They scored 14 points.
I mean, yeah, I know. That's one spot they can't get it done. I don't know. Just having a quarterback would help.
The Alabama part of it, when you've taken a look at them over the years and the level of high consistency, what is your opinion of what we're watching, maybe in a big picture historical context?
You know, we'll probably gonna look back on it when you and I are in, you know, have walkers and all that kind of stuff, and go, wow, that was really some kind of run. It still is, and it's an ongoing run. You know, Nick's just, his attention to detail, he doesn't miss anything. I mean, they absolutely do not miss anything. And even when you see him on the road, I mean, when you see him in Tuscaloosa and, you know, the facilities and just the personnel they have, I mean, they have so many grad assistants and all that kind of stuff that are, you know, working on computers. And you go by the rooms when they're on the road, and, you know, some as you know, when you travel, they got the big banquet room. That's where you're going to eat. And then there's kind of just this part where, well, maybe you're going to get, you know, some work done on your ankle or whatever. I mean, it looks like a traveling hospital when you go with Alabama. They've got the whole hotel used in every meeting room, every conference room is either filled with computers, massage tables. You go through everything. And what they have on the road looks just like what they have at home. Now, maybe everybody's that way, but I don't think everybody covers all the bases like Nick does, and he covers them better than anybody, and he doesn't miss a detail. And so when you have that, and then you just have the acumen of being a great motivator, a great coach, having great personnel, and, you know, five-star and four-star recruits, and then the coaches you put around you, it's hard not to be good, and they're really good, and they're really good every year.
It's interesting. You mentioned in a previous answer, Brad, about, you know, there are certain places where at least they have some semblance of happiness right now, and there's a lot of unhappiness other places. How do you find the passion of the fan base in the Southeastern Conference now that you're going back through it again?
Especially from the standpoint of, you know, I've had so many people ask me, and I have never been a Instagram, Twitter guy until my daughter just did this a couple weeks ago, and I'm ready to strangle her. And she said, "Dad, trust me." She said, "I'm your daughter." I said, "That's why I don't trust you." You know, so I don't know what she did, but I don't even know what that means. But apparently, I have a Twitter account now. But you know, everybody is, you know, from what I've heard, they've said, "Well, you know, we miss Vern, but we'll give this guy a chance." Well, to say this guy, then they have been watching sports for 37 years, so. You know, I realize that people are going to be critical, or they're going to love you, or they're going to hate you. And as you know, doing a game, they're going to think you're a homer for Penn State and that you're against everybody else in the world and all that kind of stuff. Right. And here, it's 50-50. I mean, I could call a game, you know, as right down the middle as I try to do every week. And I know there are people that say, wow, he was for Alabama, or wow, he was for Georgia. I heard somebody say, somebody told me, well, the Vanderbilt fans were grumbling that you and Gary were all Alabama a couple of weeks ago. I said it was 59-0. What were we supposed to talk about? So, but from that standpoint, I think it's kind of cool because at least they care. You know, they care enough to listen. They care enough to watch. They care enough to complain. They care enough to be in your corner if they want to be in your corner. So it's crazy. I mean, it's, you know, it's like that in the Big Ten and a lot of places, too. It's just down here. And it seems like every school is that way, and every city's that way. So yeah. I've known that for years, so it doesn't faze me too much.
Right. It's people laugh when you talk about the Twitter part because they know I'm not on anything either. So
yeah,
you know, everybody knows that. It's interesting you mentioned that because years and years ago, decades ago, Kurt Gowdy called a Rose Bowl. And it was USC and Ohio State. And this is back in the day, of course, of mail. And he received bags of mail from Ohio State fans saying he was pro-USC. And he was really concerned about it to the point where he called NBC and said, hey, can you send me the tape? I want to see what they did wrong. And then all of a sudden, the next day, the West Coast mail came in. They said he was pro-Ohio State. And he told them to hold off on the tape. I did my job.
I could just see Kurt going through bags of mail. That would be perfect, right?
Yeah. Now, that's a different era, Brad. That's a different era.
That is. That's a great story. I love that.
It is an absolute pleasure to catch up with you. You are unquestionably one of the best in the business. Great admiration for your work, as always. Thanks a lot for the time, Brad.
Thanks, brother. I know you got a really good team up there, and I've been trying to watch you. You had a close one a couple weeks ago. I saw when we were on the bus on our way home. So continued success. Have a good time with it.
All right. We're enjoying it. Thanks so much.
All right, Steve.
The outstanding Brad Nessler. He'll be with Gary Danielson tomorrow with LSU taking on Florida. That game will be on CBS, 3:30, the kickoff tomorrow. They'll have an airtime tomorrow at 3 o'clock. In other words, following the Penn State-Northwestern game, which will be at Ryan Field in Evanston, which you'll hear right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, with a 10:30 airtime tomorrow and a noon kickoff, and then get an opportunity to watch LSU in Florida and Brad Nessler and his outstanding work with Gary Danielson at 3 o'clock, and then 3:30, the kickoff of that one as well. Actually, I'll probably get a chance to watch some of that when I'm on the plane tomorrow. I'll say this. One of the neat things about the plane that we have, they have TVs at our seats. That's really, really great. To be honest with you, I mean, ever since the fifth year we've had this plane. And we get the same plane every time. And I admit, it's enjoyable to sit there and throw on some earbuds and watch a game as you come back, especially. And now this will sound ridiculous, but you'll say, well, it's typical Steve Jones. After the Iowa game, there weren't many choices, but Wyoming was playing a late game that went to overtime. So I watched the end of regulation and the overtime, which Wyoming won. Because it was the only port in the storm. So that's where I went in that direction. Had to relate a funny story to you. As you know, I don't talk about practice often, but I'll talk about this moment, and it was yesterday. As you know, the weather in Evanston tomorrow is going to be a bit iffy. The possibility of some rain, it's definitely going to be windy. They're talking about winds of maybe 18 gusting to 27 miles an hour off of Lake Michigan. And they're talking about the possibility of rain. So yesterday at practice, for the first time in 3 weeks, it's raining. Last Friday it rained a little bit in State College because we were done with Jack Ham's event over at Pagoula Ice Arena. I drove Jack back to the hotel, and it rained some. But that's been the only rain we've had in 3 weeks. So yesterday it's raining. It's coming down pretty good. And I'm standing out there between the offensive and defensive fields. And James goes jogging by and he says, Steve, he says, we get them ready on offense. We get them ready on defense. We get them ready on special teams. He says, and the first time in my 23 years, I ordered up rain for practice because it's going to rain on Saturday. You have to have fun sometimes in life. You have to have a few laughs in life. And I thought that was funny. Two of us had a good little laugh about that yesterday as we're both standing out there. Actually, he was running by me when he said it, and I'm standing out there in the rain watching it come down, watching practice. The guys are like, well, let's go inside. We want to go inside. We have this beautiful facility over here. Joe Moorhead, let's go inside. No, the game's going to be outside, and it's going to be in the rain. Might as well get used to catching the ball in the rain. Might as well, as a holder, get used to putting the ball down in the rain. As a kicker, you might as well get used to planting in the rain, because it is a natural grass surface out at Ryan Field. All right, next hour, Teddy Greenstein, Dana O'Neill. We're brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.